Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register, and I play Lara on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Hey, survivors, welcome to episode 130 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
We will be covering The Walking Dead Season 11, Episode 7, titled Promises Broken. Brian is not going to be with us until later in the podcast, and he'll jump in, so we definitely will welcome him when he gets here. But first, we did get some feedback from previous episodes of Season 11, going as far back as Season 11, Episode 4, Rendition, and that comes in to us from a voicemail by Dieta. It's actually two parts because, again, the voicemail kind of cuts off at a certain point, so I will play them back to back, and so let's hear Dieta.
Hi, Brian. LT and Kyle, this is Dieta from Detroit, and I was calling because I listened to the feedback from the episode where me and Renee were talking about Michonne just leaving the kids alone, and I meant to call it last week, but I forgot and it totally went away till I listened to the podcast tonight. But I just, not to beat a dead horse, but I'm wholeheartedly agreeing with Renee about how Michonne just walked away from her babies, little RJ and Judah. And what I was saying in my comments was basically like, okay, I understand Danai wanted to go and do bigger and better things. You know, we love her for that and everything. But I think they should have recast the role with someone else. They should have found somebody, you know, else to, you know, to continue the role of Michonne, kind of sort of however they were going with it, with the comics or whatever. Just like we were saying, and I know, Brian, you finally said it, that it would have made the storyline more believable, just the fact that she just didn't leave the kids. You know, of course, she supposedly looking for Rick and trying to find clues or whatever to what happened to Rick. I guess she doesn't. So we know she doesn't believe he died on that bridge either. But, you know, I don't know if she's supposed to be coming back, because even if she did decide to come back and finish out the show, you know, with the Walking Dead, you know, everybody come back and, you know, Rick's back and Michonne back, then she can just take her part back. Oh, it was just the, you know, the flow of the storyline. I just think it would have been more better if they would have just kept writing Michonne in and just replaced her for the time being with another actress. That was the point. And Mr. LT, if you don't stop shipping that Maggie and me, that is not going to happen, especially after what he said this past episode. But I'm not even going to get into this episode because I'm still trying to get my feedback together. I'm going to try and leave it online, but I think Facebook is having issues today. I don't know if it's just me or what, but if not, you all will be getting a call back with me for my feedback for the episode that just aired Sunday. But we are not shipping Negan and Maggie. No way, no how. Just forget it, LT. That's gone. They're going to work together and bring them Reapers down. And Kyle, I'm with you. I agree. I'm over this Reaper storyline. It's just like a distraction. I would rather they just keep showing the storyline between the Commonwealth and... This is Dieta from Detroit with part two. I got cut off. So basically, y'all were saying they could have just kept the storyline with the Commonwealth and going back to our people. But I guess then they needed something for them to do. So I guess the Reapers was the plot throwing in for them to have something to do while the other ones was off in the Commonwealth. But why couldn't our people be looking for them in the Commonwealth? Like, okay, they've been gone for how long? What's it? Yoki? I can't say their princess. Ezekiel and, oh my God, Eugene. They just gone. Nobody's like saying, hey, should we go look for them? We haven't heard from them. I don't know how, but they hear from, well, they did do the little radio, over the radio to say two words before the radio got cut off. But still, that's even more of an incentive to be like, hey, we need to go find out what's going on with our people because we got minimum radio contact. I don't know. But anyway, that was all I had to say. I was just trying to follow up on that little Michonne thing. I guess it's just kind of like a, I guess it's coming from a mother's perspective. I just don't see just leaving my kids, you know, like that. But yeah, I agree with Renee, and I know we beating this horse to death, but thanks anyway. Like I said, I'm going to follow my feedback for the last night's show soon. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Deanna, for the voicemail, and you actually make some really good points. I totally agree with you on the whole recasting, because I think they could have done a lot of that with, like, not only Denai with leaving the show, but with Carl. I mean, that was kind of an obvious one because he, in the comics, lives pretty much all the way through the end. Like, we know that she is probably going to show up in the movies because I think they said as much. Yeah, I just, it is what it is, and they had to write her out since that was her choice, and so her leaving Judith, you know, and like, just, oh, I'm going to go find Rick, and it was just like this very weird, like, oh, I'm going to talk to you over the walkie and be like, oh, I'm going, and blah, 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 you know, it just, I don't know, it was, they did that for their reason, and I wish that they could have just basically recasted her. I think we would have been okay with that as viewers. I mean, I don't know. LT, do you agree?
I have to take the contrarian stance. I don't think you could have recast Carl. I think that there would have been a lot of backlash to that. And as far as Michonne goes, I kind of see it the same way. I don't like the way they wrote her out, but I really don't think they could have recast her. I mean, they haven't recast anyone.
No, true, true.
And it's sort of been the thing that, you know, you come and you go and you do your thing, but I'm just thinking that we may get a surprise because there was several of the, you know, trailer clips, previews, and I would not be surprised if she made a short appearance back on the show.
Yep. I did see that for next episode from their little clip.
I don't know if it's going to be this first half or if they're going to bring her back for the tail end, but I think Michonne may make an appearance.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it was, I mean, that's the other part of it too. It's like, if they knew way ahead of time, then it's kind of like, you know, cause like with Carl, obviously he's been there from the beginning, and it's like, if this was earlier on, and like we talked about this, like, then when he was younger as a kid, you know, in the show, then it would have been like kind of like what they did with Judith when she was growing up. It was obviously they're replacing the kids. It's right. Like, we don't know what Judith looks like because she's still a baby.
And if they'd have done something where, you know, Carl takes a road trip and they have a older young actor come back to be Carl, they could have done that.
Yeah.
But I don't think for continuity's sake, they would have recast. I just don't see them doing that. Cause like I said, I could be wrong. And Judith is the exception because you're talking about going from, you know, baby to toddler to child to preteen.
Yeah.
But I don't I don't remember anybody who, you know, did the only one that I really remembered was the joke they made on Last Man Standing when they changed networks and like the daughter came out and it was another actress and he goes, you know, say, I don't remember you looking like that. Yeah, they actually made a like in character joke about it being somebody else. And as far as that goes, ladies, I want to tell both of you, I am not shipping Negan and Maggie. I'm just reading the tea leaves. You know, my personal opinion is mine. I just kind of see that this is not, like I said, this is not me. Take it out on Scott Gimple. I'm just prognosticating here.
Yeah.
Based on what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree.
And trust me, if I'm wrong, I'll say, well, I guess I was wrong. And if I'm right, I'll just take it with all the grace that I will have once I'm proven right. So there you go.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that until another episode. We'll see. Awesome. All right. Well, we also got some feedback from Brenda from the internet. And she actually posted this, I believe, on the Facebook post. She was like, I'm a bit behind. Just watch Rendition. Hey, are they recycling bits from earlier seasons? Negan also threw a team member into the fire in season 7. And when I first saw this, I just kind of responded and I was like, oh yeah, wasn't that poor old Dwight? I guess evil, bad people have the same style. But we got some other comments from other listeners, and Barbie from Westchester said, no, it was a Sanctuary's doctor, I think. And then Renee from Atlanta, she said, it was the doctor from the Sanctuary. He was treating Maggie. I believe he had a brother that was also a doctor, and Negan killed him as well. That's why we can relate to the Pope, because he kills at will also. Negan told Maggie that if he had to do it all over again, he would have killed them all, heartless, because that's what he thinks Maggie should do with the Reapers, so they want to seek revenge. The Pope is heartless, too. He's killing everyone for no apparent reason just because he's a jerk like Negan. He will be the reason his people meet the demise as well. Negan blames Rick when he should be blaming himself. And then Barbara from Westchester also replies, like, 100%. Also, I feel like Pope is the least interesting of the bad guys we've encountered in The Walking Dead. And then Renee says, my sentiments exactly. Ruthie chimed in and said, no, the doctor from Hilltop was treating Maggie, but I believe he and the Sanctuary doctors were brothers. Negan killed their doctor because he was framed. And Renee comes back saying, you're absolutely correct, and they were brothers. I think Negan threw one in the fire and the other one was killed by one of the saviors. Dwight was burned and so was that guy, Mark, because he was sneaking with one of Negan's so-called girlfriends, which he took from his so-called people, which was Mark's girlfriend from the beginning. That is why I can't stand Negan. Cuss face. He was and will always be a douchebag to me. And Brian has some comments on this exchange, and he said, I think everyone hit the high points on the brothers Carsons. The Sanctuary doctor was Dr. Emmett Carson, brother to Hilltop doctor, Dr. Harlan Carson, who was an OBGYN and was treating Maggie. Originally, both doctors were at the Hilltop, but Emmett had to go to the Sanctuary after the brutal killing of Rory, a 16-year-old from the Hilltop. Emmett was thrown into the fire by Negan in The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 11, Hostiles and Calamities, which was the first episode we see Eugene there, after Dwight framed him for Sherry's disappearance. Harlan Carson was then forced to replace his brother. He was killed by a savior during an escape during The Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 11, Dead or Alive. Yeah, that was my first like thought whenever I saw Brenda's post. So I'm glad everybody cleared it up, because I almost kind of like forgotten, like, oh, that's right. You know, there were brother doctors in the Hilltop, and then, you know, the Sanctuary, and he did get thrown in the fire, and yeah, Dwight just got burned.
Yep.
But anyways. All right, well, let's get into our episode for this week. It's Season 11, Episode 7, titled Promises Broken. Written by Julia Rutschman, directed by Sharat Raju. Description by MC.com is Maggie learns a survival tactic from Negan. Eugene's group clears walkers. Daryl hunts with Leah. All right, let's go into our ratings, and I'll start with mine. I said 8 obvious labels for the food storage door, like X marks the spot. I don't know. I thought that scene was hilarious. Like, really? It's labeled food storage.
They have a big room that says food. Does that mean they also have a corresponding room that says bullets?
Right. I know. It's like, oh, I guess they just wanted to make sure that that's what we knew what that's what it was. Yeah. It was funny. Brian gives it a 9 Negan, head coach of the Deads, or 9 Lance Hornsberries, and the range. All right, LT, what did you give it?
I gave it 8.8 out of 10. Go for Everett, for all you Oh Brother, Where Art Thou fans.
All right, well, let's go into our listener ratings, and Dieta from Detroit gave this episode an 8 out of 10 to tell the truth or shame the devil. Negan is the devil.
Okay, Glenn from Toronto says 8 out of 10, my boy Lollipop.
And Renee from Atlantic is it a 7 out of 10. I know damn well Negan did not call Maggie Ray. What the hell? eye roll. Facepalm. Totally agree. I was going to like actually put that in my what sauce because I was like, what? Did he really just say that? Oh, goodness. All right. Well, let's go into our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
Okay. Dieta from Detroit said, Maggie's learning to be a whisperer to lead the dead. I love this plan. Use the dead as weapons to end the Reapers. Can't wait to see this play out.
Mm-hmm. And Renee from Atlanta gave her awesome sauces. Using the Whisperer's idea to walk with the dead so they can herd them towards the Reapers camp and take them out was such a good idea, but I'm definitely not giving Negan any props for coming up with that. Shrug. Eugene hitting that little shit of a man boy, Sebastian, the entitled little twat, cuss face. Seeing the real Stephanie showing concern for Eugene and his friends. She's super cute. Yeah, I'm like, I kind of agree with the whole whisperer's tactic, like skill up. It's like, I have to imagine, you know, like, well, I have to imagine, or we kind of know that the whisperers were kind of nomadic. And so, and they were so hidden that if they did come across a group, besides our crew, you know, it's like people, like they're not really known. And so like for that coming up against Pope and his group, it's really something I hope will be cool. I just remember how scary it was when we first met the Whisperers and, you know, poor Jesus. But it's like, I do wonder if they're going to attack during the day or the night. It looks like it's during the day. I kind of seemed like it was like night would be a better time to do it, but you know, whatever. It's just the fact that it's like, they're using those same tactics, and it's a really kind of would be, it's going to be interesting to see how Pope and his crew handle this, because they're going to look at them as being like, oh, here's a herd of walker, let's deal with them, and then not really even thinking that it's like, oh yeah, there could be people hiding in that, or Maggie, or the, you know, whatever. And so I really hope that it's going to be kind of like some cool scenes, or just like, you know,
I think the big thing is going to be is this may be a bigger herd than they're used to dealing with
for Pope and them.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of hoping, that part of the whole thing of them doing what they did is so they'll collect up a nice big column and have like a big herd and use that and their whisperer camouflage to really make an advantage, because I could see them using it to overwhelm, you know, the wall defense.
Yeah.
And basically let the walkers do the dirty business and then them come back and clear the walkers out.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, well, I mean, they'll use the walker herd as like kind of the distraction so they can like get in. Because yep. I mean, they're obviously I'm sure Maggie probably has an idea of like where's the weak spot or like maybe where they can go. Like,
and they definitely in. And they're definitely building up a nice big herd.
Yeah, totally. The other part I thought was awesome, and I kind of know that like some of you will probably be not on the same page, but it's like I have to say that I'm enjoying the Commonwealth storyline. It's just that we see that this community is really more like a dictatorship, and everyone stays in line, or they will suffer because obviously, if like if you break the rules, they're going to make you basically pay off the debt, or worse. We just don't know. And also, is like there's just so much of this propaganda going on, and almost like there's like a caste system like in place. So I mean, I'm enjoying it because it's like. Like, I'm curious to see how, like, they, you know, we know from history that it's like, you know, people that are held under oppression usually end up turning and, like, you know, try to, like, you know, form a resistance or something like that.
Right.
And we're already kind of seeing this kind of thing happen within, like, it's kind of like the enemy within between what I think is Hornsby's motive towards Miss Milton.
And see, I kind of, go ahead. I just have a kind of a different angle on that than.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just, that's what I was getting from his exchange with like Yumiko. And it was like, he's got this ulterior motive. Like, he's like trying, he's like, he's making some plays and then trying to either he thinks that Yumiko is somehow possibly going to be in a position that he can take advantage of. And so I don't know. I am enjoying this, like this kind of like other, like, you know, there's still problems with this whole style of system, but it's like, while the people are just doing the work at the upper echelons are like fighting each other in like all these like conniving and like whatever ways, like, I mean, it's kind of an old trope. Like we see that all the time, but I'm interested to see this. Cause I'm like, we still have not met who Miss Milton is. We don't know who, you know, Pamela is. So I don't know. I'm waiting to see how this is actually, how they're going to play this out. I also cheered when Eugene punched that kid in the face, and it's like, and I almost wish Stephanie let the walker eat. I think her name was Kayla or something like that. Because I don't know. I'm enjoying this part of the story because I feel like I have somebody to root to be eaten alive by a walker, because this kid needs some real life ZA lessons, because he's just totally like that. We've all seen that. It's just like, it's a snotty little brat kid that gets everything and anything. And I'm just like, I can't wait to see you get ripped in shreds.
Well, what is it with these other group leaders that end up having, you know, snotty entitled sons? Because Deanna had a snotty entitled son, and I think this kid is extra snotty and extra entitled.
I think he's just had more time to become extra snotty and extra entitled, because this community sounds like it's been going on for a very long time. So,
well, and two, I think they've also been, like you said, they've been very insulated from the normal goings on of the ZA.
Yeah, totally.
So at least Deanna's son was a little older and he had a little more maturity under his belt. You know, this kid is just super punk. I mean, but see, I have a completely different take on how the Commonwealth is. I'm not seeing it so much as a dictatorship as just a very complex bureaucracy. And I don't think, you know, I'm having a feeling that Milton is not necessarily going to be a dictator, but she is so insulated from the layers of bureaucracy that are actually running things that she doesn't really know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, see, my feeling is it's not that everybody's being suppressed under this iron boot so much as they're just so hidebound with rules that everybody's kind of come to accept how the rules are. And it's when you get a disruptor like Eugene and our crew come in, that aren't used to how the game is played. And I think that's sort of maybe the breath of fresh air or somebody to say, hey, they're not following the rules. So yeah. it's still the same sort of end game that you're laying out, that that's somebody that's going to disrupt the system. But I don't necessarily see it as so dictatorial as it's extremely bureaucratic. The, oh, well, you know, you like the worst possible homeowners association ever.
That's a better way to put it.
but the way that Hornsby's acting, that kind of makes me think that, you know, Milton is giving him a certain degree of autonomy to do things, and he's just doing what any, I want to say, petty mid-level manager would do, and he's trying to solidify his importance.
I mean, that makes sense, and that's true. You know, like, I would definitely agree. I think probably my hardest thing, though, with the whole Commonwealth storyline is that I keep having these flashbacks of, like, the Hunger Games. That is just, like, the same kind of thing where it's like, you know, the people get to do their jobs and they're getting food and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, like, but yet there's still this control, and yet, you know, like, I don't know. From the beginning, I get that whole Hunger Games feel. So that's where I'm going with the whole, like, okay, well, they're oppressing them, but they just aren't doing it in different ways.
I won't disagree with that a bit. I agree with you. I thought it was pretty refreshing to see Eugene deck that kid because it's like Eugene was saying, you know, show a little gratitude, be polite. You can be upset, but, you know, don't be a dick.
Yeah. Right. It's that's why hopefully that kid is not too much longer. He needs to learn some lessons, like real lessons.
I think I'm going to have to talk about that in my hot sauce.
All right.
Because once again, I have questions. The other thing I was going to throw out for awesome is I definitely thought it was awesome the way that Negan was able to teach Maggie how to be, you know, how to do the zombie walk. And see, we all thought that his mission was just to go kill Alpha. Well, he actually learned some marketable skills in the zombie apocalypse. You know, how to teach, you know, people to escape walkers without having to use the gut poncho.
No, totally. I mean, he obviously learned a lot while he was with Alpha.
Definitely Eugene and the company showed their superior walker clearing skills, because you saw the stack of walkers they had after going through that block of buildings.
Oh, yeah. It was like a big pile.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, our guys have more experience on how to take care of business there.
Yeah. Yep, that's true, because wasn't that something that Stephanie said? She's like, she hadn't had to do that in a long time, and it wasn't like riding a bicycle, and it was like usually the military does it, and so they've lost their edge.
Yep. It's a perishable skill that you have to continually practice.
Yep. All right, well, then let's go into our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak!
Well, it looks like we didn't get any weak sauce from the listeners.
Nope, none at all. Yeah, it's surprisingly, but I mean, I don't know. I guess I kind of had to kind of a little dig down a little bit, but I'll just go ahead and start with mine. It was just like, I don't know, something. I mean, obviously, I think some of us or some of our listeners like agree that it's like this whole like Reaper storyline is just kind of like, like whatever. I'm kind of like ready for it to be over with. But I keep thinking it's like, you know, Pope is like, he's like that. He's this crazy acting like he's still commanding an army kind of guy. You know, it's like he even like was yelling at the patrol guys. So he's like, like, you know, because they didn't find Maggie or find, I don't even know if they even know they're still looking for Maggie or who. They're just like, they're looking for people that they don't like. But then, you know, he calls them the GD enemies, and it's like, okay, he's just like, whatever. He's just, he's so focused on this, like, killing them. But I still just don't understand, like, why are they still following him? Like, they seem to be a small group. You know, it's like they're not like, I don't really find him like the governor. The governor had a bigger community, and, you know, like, I don't know. It just, I think, you know, there was still kind of like, I feel like more time of like he established Woodbury, and then there's people living under Woodbury, kind of like the Commonwealth, where it's like there's been a lot of time. They built kind of like a quote unquote, you know, new civilization. And so, right. People would fall in line in that regards, because it's like, hey, I have a house, I have a job, I'm like, you know, doing something. But I don't feel that way with these guys. And, you know, it's like, and also like Shaw just seems to have like some sway with him, because she keeps pushing back at him, and then he's like somehow kind of like okay with it. So I don't know. I just, yeah. It's, to me, it's just, it's weak. It's just like, okay, whatever. They're just, it just feels very like, okay, we're just doing this just because we're trying to get to something else, which I think we saw a little bit of that with Daryl and her.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, I still just don't understand why, like, somebody didn't take him out already. like, just, he's not really helping anything. And I feel like the rest of them are kind of like, I'm kind of fine now that we're here. Or like, you know, like, you know, maybe they had another place, and did he screw it all up? I don't know. It just, I'm kind of just, this whole storyline is weak, and I'm ready for it to be over.
Yeah. Well, and not to say, well, it's sort of the same thing. I mean, well, look at how many people are left in Alexandria.
Well, but they also fought a war.
Well, true, but we don't know how many things that the Reapers have fought either. I'm just saying, the fact that they don't have a lot of people is not necessarily a function of how much they want to follow Pope. It could just be attrition and whatever. Maybe why they were so glad to have Daryl as a new recruit.
Point taken.
The problem that I have with Pope's people is, so they've been running all these patrols in around the area, and they didn't find dude, mom, and the kids. You know, are they that slack? Because it wasn't hard for Daryl to find them, and they just did, you know, the same perimeter sweep that the other people were doing. That was the part that I'm kind of going, well, if you're really patrolling the crap out of this area, then if you've got your head on a swivel and you're paying attention, you're going to find somebody. And the fact that they haven't kind of makes me think that these guys are going out and they're not really as gung-ho to find somebody. You know, they're kind of bunkering up somewhere and sitting and,
you know. Yes. This is actually, like, you make that. That's a good point, because that's actually what was in my Watt sauce. because I was like,
they're going out, and as we would say in the service, they're smoking and joking. And they're not really doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And which, well, I mean, that would make sense, because it's like they're just kind of, yeah, you know, being sent down. They're like, okay, whatever, we're just like gonna go. You know, maybe they found a big giant can of pudding that was like Carl's, like, extra that he stashed somewhere.
Yeah, they found him a treehouse somewhere, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that was kind of making me wonder is, so when Snotty Boy and Snotty Girl were making out at the gazebo, just where was the security detail that was supposed to be watching them? You know, it kind of makes me think that Eugene accidentally blundered into a plan. Mm-hmm. Because my thought is, they left, you know, they left Sebastian and, I forgot her name already.
Kayla or something.
Kayla. Like that. So let's say, well, she's Kayla now. So let's say Sebastian and Kayla are out having their picnic, and our pal Hornsby decides to open the door and let the walkers in so that, you know, he could show up with the security detail and save the day and earn some brownie points. Because my feeling was they were pretty much there out in the open, and I didn't see any of the security guys anywhere within eyeball distance until well after Eugene and Stephanie showed up. So I'm thinking there was something else going on there. Because it just seems a little too convenient, because if the security guys were there, you know, I think they would have shown up sooner.
Yeah, and then, but that's like when Ezekiel came back from the hospital, and then Hornsby was like, oh, hey, you guys ready for a new task? And then he sent Eugene and Stephanie, and he even said something like, he's like, hey, go clear the area up along the north fence line. So he sent him to that area, which was either close by, because obviously they ran into, I guess is that his name, Sebastian, the snotty kid. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if there was a plan and then they ended up ruining it, I don't know, kind of like, well, he sent them to a nearby area, or did they just get lost? Like, and they just happened to stumble across it, and then it screwed up his plans.
I think that was what it was. I think he just happened to go the wrong way, or
Stephanie thought she knew where it was supposed to be.
Yeah, they thought it would have happened by the time they showed up.
Yeah. No, I mean,
like I said, it's just the timing and the circumstances of that scene just make me wonder.
Yeah. Nope. I would agree. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, Brian had some that he was, he said his weak sauce was falling into the same trope. Daryl, hey, I need to tell you something, but I'm going to get interrupted and not get back to that point. Yep. I thought that it's another perfect timing of the radio call.
Yes. Another ADD theater brought to you by The Walking Dead.
And then also, we don't even know what he was going to talk to her about. Like, what was he going to say? So, and then he also goes in, he's another weak sauce for AMC this week, specifically AMC.com and AMCplus.com. This week's episode of The Talking Dead is nowhere to be found on either site. I had to watch it on Spectrum on Demand, which is what in the actual F? I didn't even get to watch Talking Dead.
Well, it would seem to me that if AMC is going to be making you pay for it, they could at least give you what you want.
Yep, I agreed. And surprising that it wasn't on, so it's like, what's going on? Because it's not like The Talking Dead is not their show.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, then that was all of our weak sauce, so let's go into our what sauce.
What?
And this is where we got some listeners' feedback. So,
oh, yes.
I will go with Dieta first, and she says, what the hell sauce? Negan and his truths, facepalm. Why would he tell Maggie if he could do it all over again, he would kill them all? Cussing face. I hope his truth gets him the desired result he was looking for, because Maggie is going to do what should have been done when they brought Negan down. Finish him. And Brian commented and said, there's such a thing as too much honesty. Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, Glenn from Toronto says, uh-oh, why did Daryl leave Dog with the Reapers? At least Dog would know Maggie and Negan in the Walker herd. Don't harm Dog, TWD.
Oh, I thought it was interesting. I was just like, okay, so Daryl took Dog back after Dog left him. And wasn't Dog always kind of, you know, like at that point was like his loyal companion? I mean, I guess he's left him here and there, but I don't know. I don't think they're going to harm Dog. I would kind of hate that. I think Dog probably will just kind of run off or disappear if they're going to do anything with him.
Dog will do exactly what Dog has done in all these other episodes. He won't be around when Maggie and Negan show up. Dog yeah. will be off. Dog will be off doing dog things.
He'll end up showing up and hanging out with Carol.
Yeah,
just tearing up the furniture and like playing. Just taking.
I was going to say, yeah. How about your man's best friend?
All right, Renee from Atlanta. She says, everything about the Commonwealth storyline is so freaking lame. I'm not a happy camper. So it's okay for that man boy to boss people around because his mom is the governor? Eye roll. This mess with Stephanie is not right. Why is Eugene not asking Stephanie any questions about what they were conversing about when they were sneaking and talking to each other? That would have ended the charade. Eye roll. Lance is giving me a Stepford Wives vibe. He seems a little robotic. Thanks, Renee. I like I said, I don't know. I'm like, I'm kind of enjoying the Commonwealth storyline, especially much better than the Reaper one. Just because I feel like there's like still a little more, you know, like to me, it's a little bit more interesting to just kind of see why, even though it's like, I feel like it's kind of a little bit predictable. But, you know, I think, you know, with some of the stuff that you said, LT, it's like we don't know what Hornby's kind of like what he's doing. You know, we still haven't even met Miss Milton yet, so we don't even know how she is. Maybe she's horrible. Maybe she's, you know, maybe it is, you know, like this is a horrible, like, you know, bureaucracy.
Or maybe we'll find out she's clueless and trapped in her office.
Right. And she's kind of like the Rapunzel, but with a crown.
Well, I was thinking more like, you know, she's the governor, not the governor, but, you know, she's in charge of making sure that the water department's still doing their job and the deliveries are on time and all this other stuff. And it's her underlings like Hornsby who are actually the evil, malevolent mid-level bureaucrats.
Yeah. 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 It's like the whole, like, you know, it gets a little bit too big for your britches and you can't really keep an eye on everything. And then your trust is laid in the wrong people. And then that usually bites you in the bum. But we'll see. Yeah, we still have more to go. But I don't know. I find the Commonwealth a much more interesting thing than this whole Reaper thing. So I'd rather be watching the Commonwealth and getting more of that story than wasting time with. Other than we'll see how Maggie and the herd.
And we've already said it. The Reaper storyline was kind of broken from the beginning because the whole impetus of Maggie going on this mission and the way they were introduced and the way that this is all played out is, yeah, the Commonwealth is not quite as action packed, but I think there's a lot more plot depth in there. So
yeah, totally agree completely. All right. Thank you, listeners, for your what sauce. So we'll go into ours. LT, did you want to start?
I did. Just like Renee said, so when are we going to find out about real Stephanie versus fake Stephanie and what was going on there?
Yep.
Because it's been pretty common knowledge that the actress that Eugene is running around with is not the same actress who did the voice. That the actress who did the voice is the little secretary lady that Yumiko was talking to.
I did not catch that. Okay.
Where have you been, Kyle?
Well, but I...
We may not have talked about it that much, but that was something that's been simmering for a while, that when we first saw Stephanie, the actress that we saw in the rail car is not the same one who did the voice.
Well, okay. No, I get that. I just didn't realize that the secretary was the one.
Yes. She's the one that had the voice credit for the radio scenes. That's why they talk about when she saw Eugene at the ice cream stand, you know, she knew, and you noticed that she didn't really want to talk to him and she was all nervous. And then when she was in the office with Yumiko And Yumiko's talking to her. You saw she had the furtive eye movements. She had the little, you know, the little nervous movements.
Yeah, I got saw that. Yeah.
Like I said, I'm just wondering when they're going to pay that off.
Yeah.
You know, and we can find out the reason that we have faux Stephanie with Eugene. You know, is this part of the evil plan of Lance Hornsby? Or is this just sort of, you know, some other deal that's going on? You know, when are we going to find out?
Well, hopefully soon. But yeah, no, I just wasn't making that connection. So definitely, yeah, for sure. That's the thing. I even wrote my notes. I'm just like, okay, Stephanie is just like that. That's, you know, basically that she's playing some game, or she's involved in some, you know, this is some other plot like thing that is not, you know, the truth or like, but I didn't make the connection with the woman at the, like, talking to Yumiko in the office. I thought there was something familiar, but I thought it was more of the actress than it was actually like their voice.
Yeah. I think the only other thing that I'm wondering about is we're sort of getting to a point where we're going to have something break with the Reapers. It makes me wonder, you know, what's going on back in Alexandria? You know, are we going to find out some other stuff? Because I understand this is the penultimate episode for the first half. So next week, you know, whenever the finale is going to be, they're either going to have some resolutions or set up some cliffhangers. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see them being very, I don't want to say being very artful about it. I just see kind of a little, you know, ham fistedness going on with how this is going to play out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hit it on my weeks, and I'll just hit it again on my whats. It just seems like we got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of deception, a lot of misdirection going on with Commonwealth, and I just am curious to see where that's all going to go. Because is it just me, or did they really give Ezekiel some happy drugs when he was at the doctor?
It may be the suckers. They had lots of sugar.
Could be. Could very well be.
All right. Well, I didn't really have like a whole lot, because we kind of already talked about this, but I did find it's why, in the sense of just, I thought it was like the dude that Daryl and Shaw came across. And I was kind of like, wait, how are you still alive? Where'd you come from? Like, I was like, are people still surviving solo at this point? I don't know. It felt so weird and off. And then also, this is where it was like, okay, she was asking him about like, oh, how are you? Like, who are you? It's like, did you not see the patrols? How do you evade them? And he's all like, what patrols? I have no idea what you're talking about. So it was kind of like, okay, well, they're just lollygagging on the job. It's like they go out and they're not really doing that. And so we kind of both agreed on that, where it's like they're doing something other than their job. Mm-hmm. And, but I don't know. I find at this point, as long as it's been, and I just didn't buy this guy and his kid and his wife who was hurt that, you know, they ended up basically having to like, you know, kill. I don't know. I didn't buy it. I don't get, it's like, since we don't get a backstory of like, were they running from another bigger group that ended up getting overrun by a herd or something like that? And so they split, and that was kind of the deal. I don't know. I at this point, it's like, what, 10 years in that, you know, there will really be that many soloists running around that like would not be in bad shape or not have, I don't know.
We could make the argument that this was another person that was living in Meridian, and Daryl wouldn't have known them since they were Maggie's people. But it goes into just what you were saying, that where did this stray rando family come from that they would have been in this area? And like you said, the thing that's sort of a disconnect is if Pope's group is supposed to be so tight and so scary and so good, then this sort of lollygaggery just doesn't add up. I mean, if you've got people, I would expect this more out of like the Saviors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the Saviors are more like, they're not going to be doing what they're doing unless somebody's really supervising them.
Yeah.
That these guys, if these guys are so tight and so shit hot and so, you know, disciplined, then they're going to do what they need to do, whether anybody's looking or not. So it's like we've already said, it's sort of a disconnect.
Yeah.
It's not making really good sense why it's like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also kind of like, it kind of just came across too, where it's like, okay, Shaw is like basically standing up for them. And then all of a sudden now she's, you know, and then now she's finding out like, oh wait, are they not doing their job? And then I don't know. It just, yeah, there's the disconnect because it kind of almost doesn't follow any sense, because it's like, okay, is this supposed to be a reveal of that she finds out that like, oh, my people that I'm standing up for are not really doing the job and not really doing what, like, are following Pope, to being oh, now we're turning it into like, oh, it's a humanity thing that she couldn't shoot this woman, to like, oh, is she like going to like, you know, Daryl can like connect her, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it's like, it was just weird. So yep. That was my what. that's all I had. But then Brian, he had a little bit where he said he thought I heard Pope's Southern accent break a bit when he yelled. And I didn't catch that, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. We've had that happen time to time in the show. I think even World Beyond with a Huck.
Oh, and I was going to say Rick.
Yeah, yes, he's done that.
Yeah, and just to be fair, not to point fingers at our hero, but you know, we know that Rick wasn't. You know, Andrew Lincoln was not always consistent in how Southern he sounded, so.
Yeah. It just is what it is.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for your good what sauce from our listeners. So let's get into our sad and aw sauce. Aww. You want to take the first one with Dieta?
I shall. Okay, Dieta from Detroit says, Elijah seeing his sister in the herd as a walker, losing all hope of finding her alive. And that's sad emojis, sad emoji. Maggie grabbing his hand in the middle of the herd to keep Elijah from losing it. More sad, broken hearts, and very sad emojis. Sidebar, anyone else think how conveniently she made her way to the front of the herd to be seen? Yeah.
Well, they were leading the herd, weren't they? So,
yeah, she was just shambling a little bit faster to get to the front.
Yeah, or maybe she was on the side and kind of crossed over. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I think they were going to have kind of like similar like sad and aw sauces from other listeners. So I'll just go in with Renee's, and she also said Elijah seeing his sister as a walker. Cry, cry, cry face. Man, I do not know how in the world he kept his cool, because my emotional behind would have given myself away and would have become walker food. She's like, I have no idea how I forgot to make this my number one sad sauce. Well, I guess Brian moved that up for you. Daryl had to kill the lady that was hiding with her family. Leah cried because she couldn't kill the lady. She's definitely going to pay for that later, because I don't think the Pope is going to be happy when he finds out that he's going, or when he finds out, and he's going to find out. Yeah. The whole kind of towards the end with the group, the guy that we don't know and his wife, whatever, and just kind of seeing the, I guess, the softer side of Leah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and also just the fact that it's just like she couldn't do it, but then Daryl just basically just shoots her right in the head. I mean, it's kind of like just the fact that it's like, you know, Daryl knows this world, and it's not that, you know, he's being like, he doesn't care. He just is like, you know, I feel like, you know, he just knows, and he would have done that yep. with anybody in our group. Because he knows that, like, okay, you're going to turn. So I'm actually doing more of a compassionate thing to put you down. Yep. And, you know, it's like, I feel like he actually has more of a connection to humanity than Leah does, because she's just running around doing whatever. Like, Pope, she called Pope in about, you know, when they found this guy, and he's all like, oh, just kill them. You know, she was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And so, you know, I guess it was kind of nice to see that she kind of had a little bit of a turning point, but I don't know. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. And she's not as entirely stone cold as
she plays off to be.
yep. As she tries to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just, yeah, with Elijah seeing his sister, and I was kind of like trying to go into this before, but it was like, I did not know that was his sister per se until obviously whenever you kind of see Maggie like looking over and crying. And then we had the connection in the beginning when Maggie was like killed the, I guess, Elijah's sister's best friend that was Walker. Right. So it was like the first, it was one of my first viewing. Like, I didn't make that connection at all, but it wasn't the second one, which, you know, once I saw like the captions, basically what they were saying, then it was like, oh, that's right. You know, it's like the Walkers that they're running into that they were going to use to make their masks and all this stuff were actually people from Meridian still walking around.
Right.
So yeah, it took a while for me to understand that, but you know, with you guys like putting your comments in, and I saw those, I was like, oh, okay, that makes so much more sense. Yeah. Cause I don't remember, I could be wrong. And like, maybe I missed it. We never met his sister, have we? Like, we've never,
no.
Yeah. There was not a scene that was like, oh, Elijah and her were talking and blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of, it just, you know, I didn't catch it right away because I just wasn't really thinking about like, oh, okay, who is that girl? You know, well, like,
and I just made the assumption that it was somebody he cared about.
Yeah, or Maggie did. And like, it was kind of like, right. But not necessarily that it was his sister, but it was sad. And you can only, it's just some of like I don't know. I do like those moments that we get in The Walking Dead, because, you know, we've been going through this for so long, you know, that it almost, we do kind of get stripped of our own like little emotional humanity, you know, the humanity actually watching the show, because we just like, oh yeah, this person dies. Oh, there's like someone gets ripped apart, blah, 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 this and that from a Walker. But it is kind of like to get back that connection that it's just like, oh, you know, it's like, to actually like you at this point, you've survived this long, then to actually see though someone you care about, whatever, be ripped away. And, you know, we got this with Negan and Maggie's big, you know, big heart to heart. So to me, I'm like, I do find that I'm glad that we get these moments again to kind of bring us back to about like how hard this world is, about like what it's like, you know, like to what it would be like to deal with these kind of losses and what would you do? So, I mean, I don't know. We're going to get into our feedback because a lot of Negan talk is going to be coming up. So,
yep.
All right. Well, that was our listeners' sad and also us. And I kind of didn't really have any more to give. So, I don't know if you do.
I think they covered everything I would have said anyway.
Yep. All right. Well, let's go into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
So, we got some feedback from Renee from Atlanta. Renee says, Negan has no remorse and he's cold and callous, and I will be glad when he gets bit or someone kills him. I'm not feeling the Commonwealth at all, and definitely not that bratty man boy. I roll. This episode was okay. Nothing to get all excited about. I'm so over this Reaper storyline that I feel like TWD is about me lose my mind up in here, up in here. Gabriel and the minister, like, seriously? Seriously? That was super freaking corny, and this mess with Negan and Maggie is getting out of hand. I don't care what Negan says. His people died because he was a dictator, not because our people just wanted to kill him. There was no compromising with Negan, which is why he can relate to the Pope, because he is a dictator as well. Can you say psycho with all of that yelling and acting like a kid catching a temper tantrum just because he didn't get his way, and his way seems to be just because I said so? More eye rolls. He told Leah to kill that family for no apparent reason. Negan and the Pope are both psychopaths because they both try to justify killing people because they're protecting their people. Negan had the audacity to say, where did Aaron get Gracie? Are you serious? Had he accepted people and allowed everyone to work together, Rick and our people would have never killed his people. That's how Alden and the rest of the Saviors ended up with us, because they knew all we wanted was to have some sort of normalcy and diplomacy. Negan needs to kick rocks. The Commonwealth better pick up the pace, because of right now I can see why the ratings are dropping. And she closes with, you guys continue to be great, with lots of hearts.
Aww.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Renee. So the whole Negan-Maggie exchange was definitely very tough. But it also kind of does play the sides of both, you know, both sides of the coin, where it's like, you know, our people did go in and basically wipe out everybody at the satellite station.
They did.
But also, like, there weren't families and they weren't children and this and that, which what Maggie was saying. But then at the same time, it's like, you know, Negan's like, well, but they had, you know, friends and girlfriends and, you know, and here I am on my side being like, you know, they're looking at me as the leader being like, hey, how did this happen? What did this, you know, how do we do this? Blah, blah, blah. So right. it's a very almost kind of like that, you know, I almost think it's like no one is right.
Well, and I think that's the point that I think we need to take away from this is we as viewers want to, you know, couch it as we like our good guys, we like our people, and we don't like the bad guys. But in reality, everybody is just trying to survive. And even if they are not in the quote unquote good camp, you know, they're not walkers. So if you turned the inverse of that, the time that the Saviors came in and killed some of our people, you know, we're all mad about it, but they have a lot of the same motivations as our group does. So I think it was sort of a little cold water for, you know, to think about, well, it's not as clear cut as, you know, well, you're just killing the bad guys, because even the bad guys have dreams and hopes and aspirations and families and relatives and buddies and
right. Totally. It's very hard because it's very subjective. You only come mm-hmm. off of like how you feel on your side, and the other side doesn't matter, but it's,
yep.
Yeah,
it's just like you said, it's kind of make you think about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, next comes from Dieta from Detroit, and she starts off with, okay, I am so over Negan and his shit. Again, why is he still here? I hate to say it, but actually was starting to feel sorry for him, but after him saying the truth, !! No, he has to go. My prediction is Maggie is going to take him out of his misery. And this is where I think, and I don't know if you want to chime in or just agree or say, like, it's like, is this going to lead into what the comic version led to?
I don't know. I think that there are going to be, I think some people are going to be dissatisfied with what happens because I don't know if he's going to die. Mm-hmm. I know in the comics he didn't, but I don't know what they're going to do. I know that just based on some stuff that I've read, you know, that Jeffrey Dean Morgan said that he wants to go out swinging, but like I said, I don't know what they're going to do. We don't know. So I'm just going to ride the train and see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's all we can do at this point. And then she goes on, she said, what is wrong with Yumiko? Why does she insist on hounding her brother for being a baker instead of a doctor? He said he was happy doing what he's doing and doesn't want to practice medicine anymore. Girl, let that man live already. He asked her several times to be quiet about it. He didn't want the Commonwealth to find out he was a doctor, but no, Yumiko keeps running her mouth and in public too. Just blah, blah, you were this, you were that. Shut up already. Commonwealth probably has her new suit bugged. That's why Tommy was taken away, because his sister wouldn't shut up about being a doctor. Facepalm, facepalm, shoe face, or shish face, shish face. Yeah, and then Brian commented, he said, he was like, either that or they have the whole train station bugged. And I was kind of agreeing with that too. I was like, you already see all the propaganda and all the stuff going on with the Commonwealth in general. So, like, why wouldn't they have their snitches, their cameras, or their microphones, or, you know, listening? So, I'm like, that's not a surprise. But what was a surprise was that Yumiko went up to Hornberry and, like confronted him. And then he basically said, like, yes, I kidnapped your brother. So it was mm-hmm. his doing, because she was messing up his plans. So I, you know, whether or not he's got like little spies or a little, like on Game of Thrones, since that seems to always keep coming up, his little birds, you know, going around.
Yep.
that's, you know, or, you know, somebody told him that she was trying to get a meeting with Miss Milton. So, and he was like, I would have put a stop to that.
And I'm going to go back to my thing. I don't think it's the fact that he concealed that he was a doctor. I think the bigger point is going to be that he lied. I think that is going to be the linchpin in all this.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing too. All right. Well, she continues and she says, Eugene has turned into a fighting machine, slicing and dicing walkers like he is a pro. Kudos to Eugene for sticking up for his lady friend, but why didn't he just tell them what happened to the governor's brat? I mean, he saved the little entitled ass brat from his own ignorance. Shrug emoji. Looks like another entitled jerk son. Can't remember Deanna's son's names, but he was the same way, walking around like he was a king, but was really a brat who got himself killed.
Indeed.
Daryl and Leah, the June lookalike, running through the woods looking for Maggie and the crew. Pope is pissed because they haven't found them yet, so Leah tries to be rational with lunatic Pope. That's funny. Laughing face. Leah, why are you so surprised that he's exhibiting behaviors you have seen before? Your people need a place and they found one, but you took it from the people who were there first, and now you're all trying to keep the people who stole the place from coming back? Go figure. Daryl's classic line, I met a guy like that before, after Leah tells him why they are still hunting. Loved it. Then he says, so Pope goes back to being a good guy after killing the people whose place they took? Eye roll. Really, Leah? Can't wait for her to get what's coming to her and Pope. In the Reapers now, over the storyline already. Overall, decent episode. Ready to see some heads roll, literally.
Okay. Well, we've got some feedback from Glennis from Toronto. She says, so Leah has a little humanity left then, with not being able to mercy kill that woman. Maybe there is a glimmer of hope for her. Daryl realized it too, with wanting to tell her something, probably to come clean with the truth, but of course Pope interrupted the moment with his radio message. Negan and Maggie going the route of the Whisperers 2.0, which is a clever plan to infiltrate Pope's compound with them being outnumbered. though they'll need to be careful not to get shot first as walkers before they can get close by those crackshot mercenaries. Who knew that Negan picked up so much tactics of the Whisperer ways? It was creepy that Negan and Maggie were mimicking Alpha and Beta with making walker masks, walking like Egyptians. Couldn't resist. Or walking like walkers, hurting the walkers and roughing it by eating at the campsite fire. Is Gabriel going to have a hellish showdown priest to priest? Gabriel seemed rattled that the Reaper's priest asked for advice from God. Why does the Commonwealth still have walkers just ambling around freely? With having to clear out buildings of walkers as punishment and roaming the grounds, something doesn't ring true about this group. If they're so organized, why are there still walkers hanging around the place? Vibes of that other governor in Woodbury keeping walkers in his outer buildings. Eugene was really over-the-top euphoric or high on lollipops after his... I'm going to say... No, Glynis, that would be Ezekiel. Was really over-the-top euphoric or high on lollipops after his return from the medical visit. Was that the drugs taking making him unnaturally optimistic? Could be. Hopefully, Yumiko can persuade Pamela Milton that Eugene was justified in hitting that spoiled brat of a son, Sebastian. Does it bode well for Eugene with Rick Grimes not in the picture having this altercation with Sebastian? Yumiko looks a little uncomfortable with herself by how seamlessly she's acclimatizing so quickly into the Commonwealth. With the fine dress suits and lavish furnishings, with even gorgeous coffee table books provided, depicting life in days gone by. I think Eugene is going to tell Lance the location of Alexandria. Even with not being able to trust the Commonwealth, they'll be able to provide much needed resources for the group. Maybe.
Like so many good points, Glynis.
And thank you for all the feedback.
Always so good. It's like the whole kind of Negan and Maggie mimicking Alpha and Beta. In a weird way, kind of the same. Just this, they don't like each other, and I think Alpha and Beta did. But yeah, there's Commonwealth definitely for sure is very like, why would they still have like, I mean, I get that they're clearing the grounds to like basically for new development. They made that point as much, but it is kind of like, okay, how did those walkers get through? It's like, what's going on? Like, why would the governor's son with the detail even? It's like, I feel like they're, if there were ground like areas outside of the walls that were safe that they've already cleared and like keep everybody like there almost be like they would have areas that were just for the governor's like the governor's retreat that was like in an area that's just like pass away. So like I don't understand how like this kid just because of who he is can just be like I'm gonna go have a picnic in a area that might be dangerous, it's like,
right. That didn't make a lot of sense to me either.
Yeah. And he even crosses the area where they're like clearing out the walkers. He's like, oh, it smells so gross or blah, blah, blah. And it was like, okay.
Why are you doing out here? Kind of thing.
Right. Like,
because part of it, when we're saying, oh, well they've got up a fence and he talked about the fence. I was thinking that, okay, these houses are outside the fence line.
Yeah.
That they have, they have like a perimeter set up around town, and this is like the neighborhood that they haven't cleared yet. So they're trying to move the fence out to take these houses in.
Right.
But you're correct in the fact that if this is outside the safe zone, then why are Snotty Kid and Snotty Kid's girlfriend out wandering in the unsafe area?
Yeah. It just doesn't quite really, didn't quite make sense.
Yeah, doesn't quite lock up there.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have Brian back. Welcome back, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Did you want to go over and like give your impressions of this episode?
Yeah, and sorry I'm not here for the whole thing. It's my wife's birthday tonight, so. Anyway, I enjoyed this week's Walking Dead. I thought it was decent. The whole Commonwealth thing is interesting. It's kind of, I don't know, Games of Thrones-ish. Just because it's political.
Yeah.
I still kind of wonder where they fit with the CRM, which we'll get into the CRM in a minute here. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting, the whole Maggie Negan thing, which, Kyle, I'm imagining you didn't like, but was I right about
well,
that?
Well, I mean, I kind of...
Well, I'm sure we know someone who didn't like
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. Well, actually, Renee and Deanna kind of both agreed. No, I just went more on the side of like, I can kind of see the sides of the coin on both ends. But, and we talked a little bit about that, where it's just like, I don't like them, but it's like, I can understand what the point was being made and, mm-hmm. you know, how hard that can be to deal with because it's a very human thing.
And you probably already said this, but I thought sometimes there can be too much honesty. And,
yeah.
you know, you can say what you want about Negan. He is usually honest, sometimes to a point, but, you know, he can also, I think he's also forgetful. I was listening to the Walking Dead cast earlier today, and I listened to talk about Yumiko being a lawyer. Jason was making quite a case against Negan being a nice guy, stacking up all the, you know, the long history of how Negan has not been a nice guy and how we should not forget that he has been a villain.
Yeah.
And, you know, as time goes on, I think it's easy for us to forget some of that. But, you know, if you think about it, you know, first time we ever heard about him was, you know, he was going to take in Dwight, what was it? Sherry's sister, who was a diabetic, and, you know, make her marry him to get the meds, you know, just and basically add to his harem.
Yeah.
And that's probably the most minor thing that he did of a bunch of major things. So, anyway. Not to beat a dead horse because you guys have already talked about it, but I enjoyed it. I liked how they used the whispers, you know, trick. I thought that was interesting. Didn't really see that coming, but makes a lot of sense, you know. So, but yeah, I liked the episode. I gave it a 9. So that's about all you have to say.
All right, well, let's go into the next wonderful thing, which actually I didn't mind it this week. So it's like, we'll see. But let's go into the World Beyond, World Beyond Season 2, Episode 1. And I'm going to totally butcher this. Consecans?
Of course you will. Consecans?
Consecans.
I have no idea what it means. No idea.
Yeah.
I thought it was Consecans.
Whatever it is, we're going to butcher it.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it was written by Matthew Negrete and directed by Lauren Iaconelli. And the description was, Hope's commitment to the future is tested. Iris and Felix meet a new group. All right. Well, our listeners had some feedback about this, so I'll start with Dieta's. And Dieta from Detroit, she said, oh, hey, yeah, I forgot about the feedback for The Walking Dead Beyond. Okay, so I'm clueless about what's going on. I did stop watching it last season because I just couldn't get into it, and I really tried. Upside down face. I am going to start watching since this is the last season, and it's supposed to go into our other show, so I got to see the connections.
I'm just going to interrupt you. Supposedly, in Haitian Creole, consequens means consequence.
Well, that would make sense for this episode.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I could have Googled it, but I guess that probably...
Well, that's the thing. I did.
Yes.
I did. You See, didn't. You, I win.
What would we do without you? Oh, all right.
Well, I'm just going to say this. I can't wait. I have to say this. This is important. It's shocking. You guys aren't going to believe this. I liked the episode.
That's not true. That's impossible.
Well, I'm going to double down on it, Brian. I almost like this episode more than I liked Walking Dead.
Well, I'm gonna double down in your double down and say I did. I think I did like it more.
And especially after last season that we bagged on this show so hard. And honestly, even as hard as we bagged on it, we didn't bag on it nearly as hard as a lot of the other podcasts did. But doggone, this week it was good. I mean, I actually liked it, and it actually had a lot of really, you know, I had a lot of good points, did a lot of things that I didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. I mean, it was one of those things where it's like, I did not expect to like this. And, you know, there's a lot of times where I will go into an episode and I will realize fairly quickly that I like something. And this happened this time. It was kind of like, you know, I'd say by act one, it's like, this seems different this time. I wonder why. Is it because they're winding down, that they're not like spending all this time, you know, trying to build up these four miscreants, these four teenage, just, you know, inept warriors, if you want to call them. The only one that really knew how to do anything was, what's his name? Silas,
mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, and, but yeah, it was good. I mean, it was good for different reasons, but it was good. I don't know if it will be as good when Elton and Silas are back. Probably will be. I don't know, but I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
How good it was.
Well, considering that the way they handled it was, you had Hope's block and you had Iris's block.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That I think if they learned anything is that you can't have a lot of individual revelations for four or five characters in the same episode.
Yeah. And yet there were revelations for those that we saw, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and not just the two sisters, but also... was it Huck? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Felix and, you know, Felix's boyfriend, whatever, like just, there was stuff going on all the way. I'm still wondering, why did they kill 100,000 people? What was the motivation there? I'm sitting there going, why did they do this? What was the point? You know? And I don't know, I especially if they're in Albany or some city close to Albany, and you know, you're talking Omaha, Nebraska, what possible threat does Omaha have to do with upstate New York in the zombie apocalypse?
That we don't know.
Yeah. And I think that we suspected there was something bad that happened in Omaha, but this is like super premeditated, calculated, and it and definitely adds a layer of nefariousness to the whole thing. Because last season, we just thought that they flew in a few Connex boxes of walkers and turned them loose. Not that they actively blew a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And got this column to come into town and eat everybody.
Well, speak for yourself, LT. I pretty much figured that that's what they did from the beginning. But I just don't, I don't understand why.
Oh yeah. Like what was the means to the end?
I thought that they killed Omaha and the campus right from the beginning and they did it intentionally. I just don't understand why.
Well, I did think they did it intentionally, Brian. I'm just saying that it's the herd that they brought was just a bigger hammer than I expected.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I will concur that I want to know why she did it. There had to be something other than she had a bad feeling or something.
Well, yeah, it's pretty clear she was operating under orders, but you know, who gave the orders and why?
Right. That's what we'll find out. All right. Well, let's get into our other listeners' feedback about the episode. And Glynis from Toronto, she first gave it a rating as 7 out of 10 hallucinations. And this episode was pretty good. The two contrasting stories of what the CRM did at Omaha and the campus between the truth that Iris knows what happens and what Hope is told. Man, Elizabeth can lie so smoothly. Yep. Elizabeth with the knife is so cool. Calm and collective, just swishing the knife up and killing the empty with not so much of a backward glance. Lots of muscle memory and play there. Hope battling those empties by herself and then getting concussion was done well with her imagined surroundings from the past and present. I really thought Candace was really there. It showed how Hope's mind was also grappling with the decision to go it alone or stay with the CRM. And Iris has killed her first human with a good dose of revenge to bolster her resolve. Another community to see what lies, if anything, below the surface with that perimeter. Nice play with words with the leader asking Iris what she lives for. And Iris answers, I live for Hope. I thought that was kind of funny. I was surprised that Hope and Iris' dad was still alive I thought for sure he was an A and being experimented on. And one last thought on the world beyond. Was Huck wearing Rick Grimes' watch by any chance? Ooh, I don't. I didn't get a chance to really look.
I don't know.
I would think that. I saw this comment before I did my semi-rewatch because I didn't really watch it the first time. But I feel like they would have made a point maybe of him showing it off more, but I didn't, and I who knows if it's really,
yeah,
that. I didn't think that Candace was there, but I did think that Candace was kind of freaky. Mm-hmm. So her hallucination of Candace was pretty out there.
Yeah,
but I never thought for a second that she was actually there.
Right. I remember writing down in my notes, and again, I kind of just watched this and just kind of like, you know, for the second, I didn't really watch it the first time, and I just finally got to watch it today. But I mean, I was kind of like, oh, really? That girl that was in all the pictures 10 years in is still hanging out at the school? like, why would you be doing that? Like, you should have left or died, you know, at that point. So I didn't think it was really
zombie apocalypse peaked in high school, Candace.
Well, She was like those crazies on the Walking Dead from last week, you know?
Yeah.
That were in between the walls and eating themselves.
All right. Well, Renee is our last one. And she said, The Walking Dead or The World Beyond is off to a good start. I don't like Kublik at all. She's a liar and a murderer, cuss face. She killed all those people for no reason. I was really hoping, Hope would not have to call her on the walkie, even though I knew it was impossible for her to make it on her own. Was Candace real or not? I wasn't for sure. Iris is going to be a force to be reckoned with. I'm glad she didn't show her any remorse after she killed the CRM soldier. Felix and Will are super cute together, which makes me believe one, if not both, are going to die. Aww. I don't trust the people at the farm. No more than I trust Huck's tired ass. Overall, it was a pretty decent episode. I'm hoping they pick up the pace since this is the last season. Where's Eldon and Percy? Shrug, shrug. We will see them, I'm sure. They're just not this episode.
Yep.
And hopefully he lost that stupid backpack that, like, carried everything and anything that he should have not been able to carry.
But that is a good question. So, where is Eldon and Percy?
Yeah, they were... They got split up and were...
Well, they're not... Oh, well, yeah, Eldon and Percy are still together, right?
Yep.
The last we saw, I believe.
And Silas is...
Captured.
Gave himself up.
Right. So they could get away.
Right.
All right. Well, that was all our listeners' feedback. I know we talked about this, so I don't know if there's anything else that you guys want to add.
Well, I've got a couple things I want to throw out there.
Go for it.
I think of the two sisters, I think that I actually enjoyed Hope's arc this episode a little more than I enjoyed Iris's. Iris seemed a little wooden to me, you know, not to dog the actor, but she just didn't quite grab me quite like Hope did. I thought it was very interesting the fact that, you know, they took her out and the idea was, well, you're a super genius. We're going to put you on this farm. Okay. I just didn't see that after all this bit of, oh, we're going to get her because she's so smart. And then we're going to put her on like a rooftop garden in Albany. I think my biggest thing for going forward is we know how ruthless the Civic Republic has been with other communities, i.e. our earlier conversation about Omaha and the campus colony. So why is our little group of artists, you know, our little farm commune in so well with CR? Mm-hmm. I just don't understand, you know, why you've got all these hippie artists that the Civic Republic is sort of supporting, unless it's not quite what it seems, that this is where you, it's not the gulag. It's the place you put people when you want to get more information from them. It's almost like this is the place you take somebody and you gain their confidence and get them to talk.
Because
they said, you know, if you listen to what Kublik said, they know where Iris is. You know, they sort of know that she's in this place, and they're saying, you know, they had said that, they trade with the Civic Republic and they give us stuff and we give them stuff. Mm-hmm. I just think it's sort of immediately sketchy that you've got this little community that they're being all buddy buddy with.
Yeah, when they go and kill 100 million, like 100,000 people in a town.
Yeah, yeah, it is sketchy. Yeah.
And the other part is, and I think I may have missed it. So what are the troops doing out in the woods that Iris was able to go out, you know, plausibly not further than a day's trip that she found our poor guy that she shanked in the woods?
Or you mean Hope?
No, I mean Iris, the trooper she killed.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, the other thing is, where'd she get the crossbow?
I was going to ask about that. Like the this person that she killed, is that he looked like one of the people that we've seen around Kublik?
Yeah, yeah. I thought so. Yeah,
was it him?
I think it was.
Okay,
it looked like the guy that she was with in the first part of the episode,
right? And someone that we've seen. Like, we saw him last season, sort of overlooking the campus. Yeah, I think. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. It was the same guy.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder, like, why
he was out there. Right.
Well, yeah. Why do they have troops out in the woods so close to this, to the commune?
Right, that she could just basically take a day to walk to, if that.
Well, or less than a day. Because, I mean, she took off when it was getting dark, and it was dark when she called him. And I guess that was the part that I was kind of going, I don't really get what's going on here. And especially after, when you talk about the crossbow, when she went into the little commune community, they took away all their weapons. So again, I didn't remember seeing where she picked this thing up at. And for somebody who just got a brand new crossbow, she seems to be a pretty good shot with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's had time to practice somewhere.
Yes, you had time to practice this brand new weapon we just found that we didn't know you had before.
Yeah, she's definitely not Alicia. Alicia with her sword plus up skills in season 2.
Yep.
All right, so that was... anybody else have anything?
Yes, this is true for both shows. There's some kind of class society that we see in both shows. Specifically, in the Commonwealth, we definitely see it, and particularly this apparently wasn't mentioned by name, but the character that was such an asshat goes by the name of Sebastian, and he played a particular character. Had a particular role in the comic book, and if you know anything about it, don't say anything. But I do know about what he did, and I'm not going to spoil it for those that haven't. But yeah, anyway, not a nice kid and a jerk face, and clearly talk about class society. Someone who acts to be entitled, and you know, same thing with Yumiko, given all these opportunities just because she is a Harvard graduate. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and even, you know, what might be going on with the doctor, you know, like I think you hit it on the head, LT, probably already talked about this. The fact that he lied is what he probably got in trouble for, but you know, his role in society will probably move up once he pays his little debt, because he's a surgeon, right? I think in the CRM there might be a class society as well. Artists, maybe that's why they're left alone, because they're artists. scientists seem to be very important in the CRM. Smart, you know, like that's why they want Hope so bad, because she's, you know, genius level, whatever. So there is a class society that's based on, you know, one's based on politics or wealth or whatever you want to call it. And one's based on intellectual, artistic, whatever, but it's both a class society. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's a good point though, between the two differences between and the two shows, because it is kind of like, you know, we were talking about the Commonwealth as being like this kind of more of a bureaucracy. And so mm-hmm. it's like the levels of that, it's like, it's not necessarily maybe so much of like, oh, there's like a, like I was kind of thinking, saying it's like, oh, it's like more like, it's like this dictatorship, but it's also like LT was saying, it's like, well, it's kind of more of like, there's just such a big bureaucracy behind it all that the,
right.
You know, the governor really is kind of out of touch and like separated from all that because it's just so big and what's going on. CRM is very militaristic. And it's also, you're right about the fact that it's, their values are more of what I think, and we're getting to see a little bit from the clips, and we're kind of like, I think we kind of already understand that, like, they're looking for a cure, but they're also looking for a way to create the new society, but the way they want,
right.
Not in like how we would all right. be like, oh, I want to go back to going right. to the mall. They right. want,
yeah, and it's kind of like a different approach here, where like the Commonwealth is using U.S. currency. Right. So in a lot of ways, they're trying to restore the way things were, at least to the best of their ability, whereas CRM wants to not restore. They want to build to the next thing and aren't afraid to, you know, break a couple of eggs to get there.
So to although, speak.
100,000 eggs is a lot of eggs.
Yep. All right. Well, if that was it for everyone, let's go into...
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, let's go into news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
Well, in ratings this week, ratings are up on both shows.
Good.
The Walking Dead got season 11, episode 7. We're very, very far from season 1. Got a 0.47 in the 18 to 49 with 1.891 million viewers. That is up from up from last week's 0.43 in the 18 to 49. And 1.782 million viewers. In the 25 to 54, it got a 0.68, up from 0.63. And in the 50 and over, it was also up slightly, 1.02 versus last week's 1.00. World Beyond Season 2, Episode 1 was also up from the season finale last year. It got a 0.20 in the 18 to 49 with 753,000 viewers. The season finale double episode last season got a 0.15 in the 18 to 49 with 618,000 viewers. Talking Dead this week got a 0.10 in the 18 to 49 with only 403,000 viewers. Now, of course, that was at a later time. Last week, it got a 0.14 in the 18 to 49 with 700,000 viewers exactly. Well, probably not exactly.
Nope.
In the Parrot Analytics, The Walking Dead stayed again at number 4. I think that's the third week in a row. Mm-hmm. It got a 45.7 times the demand of an average show, down from 48.0 times last week. Remaining at number one is the perennial SpongeBob SquarePants at 73 times the average show versus 77.1 times the last week. And Saturday Night Live is remaining at number two at 53.7, up slightly from 53.6 times last week. Remaining at number three, My Hero Academia at 51.5 times, up from 50.0 times last week. So basically the top four were unchanged in order, but it changed a little bit from after that. Like Stranger Things went from number nine to number five.
Hmm. Yep.
Because there was a trailer, I think, that came out. All right. Well, that's it. So.
All right, LT, why don't you take it away? Tell us how people can interact with us.
All righty. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at WalkingDeadTTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. You can send us email. That's walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. You can also utilize our feedback forum on our webpage, which is talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. If you'd like to leave us voicemail, you can call 216-232-6146. Now, all of our new episodes are on YouTube first. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when we have new videos. YouTube goes out first before the podcast goes out to our regular distribution places.
Yes. Patreons get the early access. To support us, like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. The best way you can support us is in our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. It's like you can support us with $1 a month. That helps support the podcast, support our costs, all the good things we like to hear from you guys. Plus, you also get early access to our to the show. So basically, as soon as we're done recording, usually like the next morning, it's an unedited, no bells and whistles, just kind of how we record it before the editing for the main podcast. But if you want to get it first, that is the best way to do it. And we would also like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, Lawrence Todd over there, Kyle McAdams, which is me. I need to change that. I always do this every week and it's like, oh, I need to change that and I forget. And our newest Patreon supporter, Dieta Patterson. And remember, Dieta, Clint, and Renee do get the early version of this episode this week. You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. While you're there, give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. There, you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. So definitely go check that out. And remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter. When we post them, and tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way we get new listeners. We also, Brian, me, and LT, we also cover Star Trek Lower Decks. We have two more episodes left, and you can find that over at Star Trek Discovery Podcast.com is the main site. That's the main like link. But also it's like, you can go to our Facebook group. It's at facebook.com/groups/talkthroughTTM podcasts. There's also a Patreon there. That's where all the Star Trek, basically all Star Trek. You can find us over there. And you can also find the Patreon for those podcasts at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. All right. If I didn't butcher that enough. goodness. Set this end where I'm like, oh, I'm tired now. All right. Well, next episode of The Walking Dead, season 11, episode 8, is called For Blood, written by Eric Mountain, directed by Sharat Raju. And the description at amcplus.com is: the Reapers defend Meridian from a herd. Alexandrians protect themselves from walkers in a storm. Ooh. World Beyond, Season 2, Episode 2, is titled Foothold, and it was written by Carson Moore and directed by Lauren Iaconelli. Description again from AMC Plus is: while some members of the group enact a plan to cover their tracks, others attempt to acclimate to their new surroundings. All right, so until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everyone.
Good night.